بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, the illustrious Sahabi of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Zayd bin Thabit رضي الله تعالى عنه, he narrates that once a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with a gathering of the Sahaba, and he said to them thrice, Ya Tuba Lisham, Ya Tuba Lisham, Ya Tuba Lisham, glad tidings for the land of Sham, congratulations to Sham, well done to the people of Sham. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum was surprised a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paying homage and celebrating the people of Sham. So they asked the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasul Allah, wa bima dhalik, why do you pay homage? Why do you speak so highly? Why do you congratulate the people of Sham? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Tilka malaikatullah basitu ajnihatiha ala Sham. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created special angels of His to perpetually spread their wings over the land of Sham. There is something special about this land which attracts the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and which enjoys special status and significance in the court of Allah. The land of Sham, or the Levant as it is known, is an area which encompasses modern-day Syria, Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon, parts of northern Egypt, parts of southern Turkey, and parts of western Iraq. Alhamdulillah, through the fadl and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we were invited to accompany the Al-Imdad Foundation on one of their humanitarian missions to the land of Sham, and specifically the land of Syria. Now, the land of Sham is a very vast region, but the center of the land of Sham and the most significant, or the capital of the land of Sham, of the entire region is Syria. There were many places that we had visited. A week has passed since our return, and I would like to just give you a glimpse of some of the experiences that we had along the way, some of the lessons that we have learned, and more importantly, what role do you play in rebuilding the beloved land of Sham? The first place that we visited was the Umayyad Masjid. It is known as the Great Masjid or the Grand Masjid of Damascus. The Umayyad Masjid was originally a pagan temple, and it was constructed approximately 3,000 years ago. So it's one of the oldest religious sites that exist. It was constructed by a nation, a people known as the people of Aram, or the Aramean nation. Then it was converted in a Greek temple. It was dedicated to the Greek god known as Jupiter. It was then Romanized in the first century. It was then Christianized in the fourth century. And this is where the famous cathedral, or the famous church of St. John the Baptist, was constructed. So as Yahya alayhi salam, some believe, and in fact there is a tomb in the masjid itself, where they claim that the head of Yahya alayhi salam is buried. Yahya alayhi salam was assassinated by the Jews, and after his assassination, his father Zakaria alayhi salam was also assassinated by the Jews. So it is believed, Allahu alam, that his head is contained in the tomb that is found in the Umayyad Masjid. In 705, so that's approximately 1,320 years ago, during the Umayyad Khilafah, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you had three khilafas. Immediately after the demise of Rasulullah, there were three khilafas that existed. One is Al-Khilafah Ar-Rashida, founded by Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was succeeded by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was succeeded by Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and then Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the four rightly guided khulafa. That
30-year period is known as Al-Khilafah Al-Rashida. Immediately after the Khilafah Al-Rashida, you had Al-Khilafah Al-Umawiyyah, the Khilafah that was established and founded by Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the sixth Khalif, the sixth leader of that Khilafah, of the Umayyad Khilafah, was a man known by the name Al-Walid, Al-Walid ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. In 705, it was this Khalif of the Umayyad dynasty who converted the cathedral into a masjid after he compensated the local Christians with other properties in the area. So he compensated them with other properties in the area which they could convert into their religious sites. But the Umayyad Masjid, as it is known today, was converted into the masjid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us the ability and the opportunity to visit. The significance of this masjid was mentioned in a few hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to some, for example, the historian Ibn Asakir rahimahullah, he writes that it is the fourth holiest site in Islam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prophesized the return of Isa alayhi salam and his descent in the city of Damascus. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَنْزِلُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ عَلَى الْمَنَارَةِ الْبَيْضَى شَرْقِيِّ دِمَشْقِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam, he will descend at the white minara in the eastern part of Dimashq. Now the most prominent white minara over there is the minara that is found within the compound of the Umayyad Masjid. As soon as you exit the Umayyad Masjid, you see this magnificent minara. It is white in color. Many maintain the view that that is the minara and that is the site at which Isa alayhi salam will descend. Ibn Ayyash al-Hadrami rahimahullah, he says, يَخْرُجُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ عِنْدَ الْمَنَارَةِ. Isa, the son of Maryam, when he makes his first appearance on planet Earth, he will appear at that minara. He will appear at that minara, the white minara of the Umayyad Masjid. He will then enter the masjid. He will enter the masjid of Damascus, حَتَّى يَقْعُدْ عَلَى الْمِنْبَرِ. And he will sit on the minbar of the masjid of Damascus, وَيَدْخُلُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ الْمَسْجِدِ. And all the Muslims will follow him and they will enter the masjid with him. The second significant site that we visited was the Maqbara of Babu Saghir. Maqbara of Babu Saghir is a cemetery, a graveyard that is found at one of the seven gates of the old city of Damascus. It's known as Babu Saghir. You find a graveyard there. So it's a huge graveyard that is divided into two. And there is this road that runs through this entire maqbara and cemetery. On the one side of the maqbara, you have the opportunity of visiting the maqam of Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he migrated to the land of Dimashq or the land of Sham after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He dedicated his life to jihad. He says, I will spend the rest of my life in jihad fi sabilillah. So he took part in all the battles that were fought in order to liberate the land of Sham, the land of Syria. And he passed away in Damascus in the year 20 AH, 20 years after Hijrah. It is said that he was approximately 90 years old at the time. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates a hadith when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about the status of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu amongst many other hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ishtaqatil jannah ila thalatha. Jannah desires and looks forward to entertain three of my companions. Every one of us, we are desirous of Jannah. We desire Jannah, but Jannah desires three of my companions and is looking forward to entertain the three. Who are they? Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When the time of his demise approached, then he said a famous couplet that is attributed to him. What did he say? غَدًا نَلْقَ الْأَحِبَّةِ مُحَمَّدًا وَحِزْبَةِ. He was extremely happy when he realized that he was in the sakarat of maut. So he said these words of poetry. He says, tomorrow we shall meet our beloved friends. Tomorrow we shall meet Muhammad and the group and the army of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After visiting the maqam of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you go to the other side of the maqbara of the cemetery at Bab al-Saghir, and there you stand at the maqam of Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The grave of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is the brother-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married his sister Ummu Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha. Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of the scribes who was entrusted by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to write the wahi and to write the revelation as it was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What an honorable and what a grandiose status he enjoyed amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu appointed Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu as the governor over Sham. And to be appointed of the land of Sham, that alone speaks volumes of the status that you enjoy amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he passed away in 60 AH, which means he remained the Khalifa. So after Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was assassinated, the founder of the Umayyad Khilafah that followed was Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was then appointed as the Khalifa of the Muslim world, and he remained the Khalifa for a period of 20 years. Ibn Asakir rahimahullah, subhanallah, you know, and I keep quoting Ibn Asakir rahimahullah. Before we proceeded toward Syria, I decided to read a book on the history of Dimashq, on the history of Damascus. So I found the book of Ibn Asakir rahimahullah. The name of the book is Mukhtasar Tariq Dimashq. It's in Arabic, which means a brief history of Damascus. And guess how brief it is? 27 volumes. So I'm reading the work of Ibn Asakir rahimahullah. And just before we go to the maqam and the grave of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, our companion and our tour guide, he says, there's one qabr I need you to visit. Lo and behold, I stand before the qabr of Ibn Asakir rahimahullah. So he writes about Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, وَكَانَ عِنْدَهُ قَمِيسُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَإِزَارُهُ وَرِدَاؤُهُ وَشَعْرُهُ. He was in the possession of, because his sister was married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he had the izar of Rasulullah, the lower garment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He had the upper garment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he had the outer garment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he had a few strands of hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he gave the wasiyah and the instruction that upon my demise, you will enshroud me in the garments of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you will take these strands of hair and you will place them over my face. So that maqam does not only contain the mubarak and blessed body of this great sahabi, it even contains the clothing and the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter you go to the maqam and you go to the grave of the liberator of Masjid al-Aqsa and the land of Palestine. You stand at the maqam of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi rahimahullah. Salahuddin al-Ayyubi rahimahullah, he liberated the land of Aqsa exactly 858 years ago. It was the year 1187. It was Friday the 3rd of October. Sorry, the 2nd of October. We missed it by one day. So yesterday was exactly 858 years from the day he had liberated Masjid al-Aqsa and the land of Palestine. Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, he was strongly influenced as a child by the great Sufi and scholar Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah. And one of the first things that he did, because they conquered Masjid al-Aqsa on a Friday, they had to as quickly as possible prepare the masjid for Jumu'ah that day. So one of the first things that he did was he installed the minbar of his mentor and his teacher and his instructor Nuruddin Zangi. Nuruddin Zangi, and we will speak a bit about him because you visit his maqam after his student Salahuddin Al-Ayyubi. Nuruddin Zangi was such a visionary leader that he constructed a minbar, and he says that when Masjid Al-Aqsa is liberated, this minbar must be installed in Masjid Al-Aqsa. And that's exactly what his student Salahuddin Al-Ayyubi did on that occasion at Masjid Al-Aqsa. You then proceed to the maqam of Nuruddin Zangi, rahimahullah. He was known as Al-Malik Al-Adil. He was known as one of the most just kings of the region. He was the ruler of Syria. He was the most influential teacher, the mentor and instructor of Salahuddin Ayyubi. And what's unique about him, Nuruddin Al-Zangi, rahimahullah, he is the founder of the madrasa system in its formal setting, the founder of the Darul Uloom system in its formal setting as we know it today, the Maktab system, the Darul Uloom system. He was the founder, Nuruddin Zangi rahimahullah. During his reign, 42 madrasas were built in Syria, of which half he personally sponsored. And you and I have the opportunity, one of the avenues that you are blessed with in rebuilding the land of Sham is to invest and to continue in the legacy of Nuruddin Zangi rahimahullah. There is the opportunity for you to contribute towards the establishment of maktab madrasas in the land of Dimash. Alhamdulillah, one family from our community, they heard of our mission towards Syria, and they have adopted a brand new maktab in the center of Dimashq, Damascus, where the children of the Mujahideen and the children of the liberators will be taught maktab madrasa for a period of 1 year. This is one opportunity you have to rebuild the beloved land of Sham. They are in need of madrasas. They are in need of maktab madrasas. They are in need of hifz classes. Everything has been destroyed. Everything has been demolished. So this is the first role you can play in rebuilding the land of Sham, is the reconstruction and the revival of the madrasas and the dini institutes. We visited a very highly regarded private school, a very prestigious private school. It was known as Madrasatu Abna'i Shuhada. Subhanallah, this was a school where children were taught the Ba'ath ideology, right? And they were taught secular ideology. They were secularized completely to the point where you will not find any sign of deen in that school. When we entered the library, we found literature on Marxism, communism. They were completely secularized. They were completely stripped of the dini ideology outwardly and in terms of ideology. And today, alhamdulillah, after the liberation, that school is now in the control of the government, the newly appointed government of the land of Syria. And they will now convert that into a school and a maktab madrasa. And those children, orphan children, majority of them are orphan children who are in the north, who were taught in the caves and in the tunnels and in the trenches, those children will now be taught Islamic dini knowledge in this particular school. And when you enter the school, it's such a prestigious school, subhanAllah, it has the best facilities that you can ever find. I do not know of any school in our area that has the type of facilities that that school has, because that is the school to which all the elite kids were sent to. And when you enter that school, the first ayah that comes to your mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after the destruction and after destroying Fir'aun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَمْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونٍ وَزُرُوعٍ وَمَقَامٍ كَرِيمٍ وَنَحْمَةٍ كَانُوا فِيهَا فَاكِهِينَ. Allah says, imagine how many gardens, how many springs the tyrants have left behind. Look at what they have left behind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they have left various crops behind. They have left splendid residences behind. They have left luxuries which they fully enjoyed. Allah concludes by saying, كَذَلِكَ وَأَوْرَثْنَاهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ. So it was, and we awarded it all to another people. And that is the reality. You are reminded of this when you travel through the land of Syria. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them to construct it. Allah allows them to enjoy it for a certain period of time. But when they commit tyranny, oppression, and when they commit injustice against humankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes it and gives it to those who are oppressed and who are humiliated and who are tortured under their rule and under their governance. The next day we visited a region called Al-Ghuta. Now Ghuta is a very special region, and many of us would like to visit this region, Al-Ghuta. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about the region Al-Ghuta. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَإِنَّهَا مَعْقَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنَ الْمَلَاحِمِ وَفُسْطَاطُهُمْ مِنْهَا بِأَلَهَا Al-Ghuta. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the last stronghold and the last sanctuary of the Muslims towards the end of time will be a region that is close to the city of Damascus. It is called Al-Ghuta. When you come to Al-Ghuta, wallahi, complete destruction. You feel as if you are standing in Gaza. The forces of Bashar, backed by the Russians, backed by the Iranians, backed by Hezbollah, and backed by the Shia of Afghanistan, they are known as the Hazara Shias. They completely destroyed this region of Ghuta and every other city beyond Ghuta, leading right up to the north. You will find, wallahi, every city has been turned into what Gaza is today. Complete destruction. Everything has been destroyed. From their schools, to their masajid, to their homes, to their businesses. They are coming back from the north, from the refugee camps, to find nothing but destruction. In Ghuta, they took us to Medina to Jawbar. It's called the city of Jawbar, or the town of Jawbar, in the region of Ghita. In the region of Ghuta. Jawbar is one of those towns that have 100 stories to be told. It suffered a lengthy siege for approximately 4 or 5 years, beginning in the year 2011. It is called Jawbar, according to some historians, لِغَارٍ كَانَ يَخْتَبِئُ فِيهِ نَبِيُّ اللَّهِ إِلْيَاسِ. It is said that Ilyas alayhi salam, there was a cave in Jawbar, known as Jawbar, where Ilyas alayhi salam would spend his time of seclusion in. Some mu'arrikhin, some historians, they say that the oldest Jewish synagogue is found in Jawbar. It is approximately years old, and that piece of land still belongs to the Israelis. In the center of Jawbar, where the synagogue is constructed, and it is said that the oldest copy of the Torah, of their divine scripture, is found in that synagogue. In Jawbar, there is a masjid that they took us to, Jami' Jawbar al-Kabir, or it is called Masjid al-Asma'i. The ulama are familiar with the name al-Asma'i, a great Arabic scholar, Abdullah al-Asma'i. And perhaps we studied, he is known to produce the most difficult poetry in Arabic. Sawtu Safir al-Bulbuli, the famous poetry of his. And that masjid is either called Jami'u Jawbar or Jami' al-Asma'i. Subhanallah, it is partially destroyed. Of the masjid, which is approximately 1,000 years old, completely destroyed. The extension is partially destroyed. And we came across some writing that was written on the wall of the masjid by one of the liberators, one of the fighters. You find he writes there, قِفْ وَسَلِّمْ أَنْتَ فِي أَرْضِ الشُّهَدَى وَالْمَلَاحِمْ. He says, O visitor of Jawbar, pause, stand, halt. Give salam to the land of the shuhada, the land of the martyrs and the land of battles. قِفْ وَسَلِّمْ أَنْتَ فِي جَوْبَرْ أَهْلِ الْكَرَامَاتِ وَالْمَرَاحِمْ. Stand, halt. Give salam to the land of Jawbar, because you are in the land of miracles and mercies. قِفْ وَسَلِّمْ أَنْتَ فِي أَرْضِ الْأَسْمَعِي وَالشَّيْخَ الْمُزَاحِمْ. Stand, pause, halt. Give salam to the land of Al-Asma'i, rahimahullah. Your second role in rebuilding the land of Sham is to rebuild, to adopt these masajid and to reconstruct these masajid. Beautiful masajid have been destroyed, some partially destroyed, some completely destroyed. This is an opportunity for you. They need the masjid. It is the center of the city of Jo'burg. And while I was with some of my travel companions from this masjid, we turned to our host, Maulana Muhammad from the Al-Imdad Foundation, and we said, Maulana, has anyone adopted this project, this large, beautiful masjid in Jo'burg, which requires renovation and construction? So he asked one of the senior officials, and he says, no one has adopted this project. So I said, we'll take it on, inshallah. I'll take this project back to our community, and I'm sure our community will see this as an opportunity in rebuilding the land of Sham. One masjid out of many. So he said, done. He said, done, as if he was the chairman of the masjid. I said, one condition. We're going to name it Masjid al-Salam. We can leave the tagline, feel the peace. Masjid al-Salam of Musgrave, the Masjid al-Salam of the city of Jo'burg. What a wonderful opportunity. Allahu Akbar. We had the opportunity of offering janazah salah. There was a janazah that took place. A youngster who passed away in a motor vehicle, a motorbike accident. So we had the opportunity to perform his janazah salah there. And whatever remains of that masjid, they turned it into a masjid. And we offered our bahar salah there as well. There is so much that can be said about just this one city of Jo'burg, and I'm using this as an example. So the people, the siege lasted for about 5 years. What they would do, the Iranians and the Assad regime, backed by the Russian Air Force, is they would bomb all the bridges and roads leading into and out of a certain town. And then they would bomb the town. So the only defense mechanism that the mujahideen and the fighters and the people had of a particular town was to dig trenches and tunnels the way we have in Gaza. Alhamdulillah, we had the opportunity to walk through some of these tunnels. Amazing, the network. So it was a city beneath a city. And that is how they lived. The tunnels in this area of Jo'burg spans over 27 kilometers. We then went to Homs. There you stand at the maqam of Khalid ibn al-Walid, the liberator of the land of Sham, the one who conquered the land of Sham. Khalid ibn al-Walid, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you stand at the maqam of his son, Abdul Rahman ibn Khalid ibn al-Walid, father and son buried next to one another. He was with his father, at the side of his father, through every battle that his father fought. You then go to the maqam of the son of Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The more famous son and well-known son of Umar radiallahu ta'ala is Abdullah. He has another son, Ubaidullah. So you go to the maqam and you go to the qabr of Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala, also buried there in the masjid of Khalid ibn al-Walid in the city of Homs. I want to briefly speak about the people of Sham. We all have the opportunity to contribute towards the rebuilding of the land of Sham. Seize this opportunity. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the land of Sham and the people of Sham, فَإِنَّهَا خِيرَةُ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَرْضِهِ. It is Allah's chosen land. يَجْتَبِي إِلَيْهَا خِيرَتَهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. Allah will draw to it the best of His people. Be part of reconstructing, rebuilding the life of the best of people of the chosen land of Allah. Well, number one, they are in a constant state of shukr. They are in a constant state of gratitude. You know, subhanallah, we met a very senior person. We met him at Jabal al-Qasiyun. Jabal al-Qasiyun is in Dimashq. It is this large, towering mountain that rises over the land of Dimashq. A most humble person with the most beautiful soul, who played a leading role in the liberation of the land of Syria. And the first thing he did when he addressed us with such precision, he says, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسَ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. Whoever does not give thanks to people has not shown his gratitude to Allah. He says, I would like to say at the outset that the victory of Sham could not have happened with the attack that Hamas carried out on the 7th of October. There's some detail to that to understand it. But that was his opening comment. He paid homage to them and he thanked them. And he says, let me say that their suffering over there in the land of Gaza is what led to the liberation of the land of Syria and the land of Sham. We were in an area known as Saraqib. A Saraqib, destruction. Everywhere you go, it becomes so normal to see destruction that when you see some development, you find that to be abnormal. Wal'iyad billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That's the situation. So we come to As-Saraqib. At As-Saraqib, we're inspecting a masjid, alhamdulillah. One of our South African brothers, they adopted that masjid. Renovations are taking place and so on and so forth. They are so appreciative. You know what they say? They say, you know, every South African had a contribution in the liberation of Syria. Because when we were in the trenches and when we were in the tunnels, we'd get tinned food from Syria, from South Africa. We'll get clothing from South Africa. We'll receive supplies from the people of South Africa. And we ask the one brother, we feel so helpless. We have not contributed in any way. He says, wallahi, your contribution was through the arrows of dua. Through the arrows that you launch in your qunut nazila at the time of Fajr. Don't underestimate the power of those arrows. Those arrows played a very vital role in the liberation of the land of Syria. So we are in Saraqib. A friend and I, a friend, mashallah, when he left South Africa, he left with the nickname Koon. Not cool, though he was cool, but his nickname was Koon. Now in Syria, they call you by your laqab, right? So they refer to you as Abu Yahya or Abu Zakaria or Abu Maryam. So he got an upgrade. From Koon, he became Abu Koon. Nevertheless, the two of us, we saw this elderly person sitting outside what was a spaza shop, and we went to look for some drinks. And we sat with him, and my friend, by the way, his name is Muhammad, his real name is Muhammad, right? Abu Koon. He asked this person that, how are you recovering from the loss? How do you live and move forward? Because he has, you know, contentment on his face. He's sitting in the midst of destruction. He has contentment on his face. We are offering him drinks. He says, I can't accept from you. You are my guest. I should be honoring you, but I have nothing to give you. So at least I will not take anything from you. So he asks him, how are you getting through this loss? Subhanallah, without thinking, with such authenticity and so naturally, he tells my friend, he says, هكذا الدنيا يا أخي. He says, this is the dunya. The dunya is meant to perish. What's so strange about it? Akhirah is what we look forward to. Dunya is meant to perish. No one ever told us that dunya will survive forever and will last forever. Subhanallah, I was sitting with a group of friends the other night, and I said to them, although many of them were more interested in rebuilding the lives of the young widows of Sham, that's a discussion for a more private setting. We have a bridegroom in the audience just now. His mind starts drifting away to the land of Sham before the nikah. So I said to them, I heard more utterances of Alhamdulillah from them than I would hear from the person living in prosperity. There was an elderly widow. She had 7 orphans with her. So we went to visit her at her home with the intention of donating some cash to her. So the brother who is with us, he asks her that how is life, you know, trying to encourage her to give a sad story. The sadder the story, the more the money. Right? Wallahi, she just said, Wallah, Alhamdulillah. And he's trying to encourage her to speak about her suffering. And I think about 4 times all she said and uttered was, Wallahi, Alhamdulillah. Wallahi, Alhamdulillah. Both of her sons became shaheed. One was killed by the Hezbollah forces. The other was killed by a Russian airstrike. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to play a role in the reconstruction and the rebuilding of the beloved land of Sham. There are so many opportunities. These are only a few. The reconstruction of homes. Alhamdulillah, that same family who donated the Maktab Madrasa in Damascus, they have adopted 10 homes for reconstruction. How happy those people are. Our homes will be reconstructed. They are living in demolished homes. That's exactly what every town is like in the land of Syria. And the greatest lesson I think we learn from this entire journey is that Palestine will be free, inshallah. Subhanallah. They never thought they will taste freedom. We have become despondent. وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. They kept on reminding us, the help that we have seen, victory that we experienced, regardless of the suffering and the loss, all of it was only from Allah. And that is the message you walk away with, because Allah says, وَالْعَقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Hold on, hang on. The outcome, the favorable outcome, belongs to the righteous servants of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding. A nikah will take place, and then we'll continue with the proceedings.